Good evening, and welcome to The Bare Truth. I'm your host, Jazzy Jones, and we are live on the new Loudmouth Radio Network. This show is sponsored by Scarlet Place Apartment, South Atlanta's hidden gem. I'm super excited to have you guys with us and joining us and just tuning in with us this evening. It is extremely an honor to be here with you tonight and have you join us. We're going to get out of your way just for a brief moment and allow our sponsors to come in and tell you all about us. So, and now we have
Scarlet Place Apartments, considered to be Atlanta's hidden gem, offering 1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartment homes. Scarlet Place is located in a fabulous location, only minutes from Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport and only a few miles away from major interstates and downtown Atlanta. Residents of this community enjoy amenities such as vaulted ceilings, crown molding, and washer and dryer connections, fully equipped electric kitchens with spacious floor plans. Work out in our new fitness center or simply relax by the pool. We invite you to call us for more information and schedule your personalized tour. Scarlet Place. See why our residents love to call us home. Located 3500 Summer Court Drive, Jonesboro, Georgia. Call for more details at 470-315-1194.
And for a special note this evening, if you have any questions regarding this broadcast or would like to reach us for advertising, call our Loudmouth Media offices at 706-363-3895 during business hours from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from Monday through Friday. Also, if you want to download our program for the evening, we are available for download and on demand on our blogtalkradio.com/loudmouthradio, and that's loudmouth with two D's, so it's L-O-U-D-D, mouth, radio. Anytime after 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's out on each Monday, okay? Loudmouth Radio is one of the Internet's hottest online radio networks. Our talk radio shows cover topics that are geared towards empowerment, inspiration, and entertainment. Contact us live, online, and on demand 24/7 on loudmouthradio.com and share with us your thoughts and the things that inspire you. Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights, we do have our shows, and we'll let you know some more of those shows as we continue. We'll also let you know about our advertisement and how you're able to advertise with Loudmouth Radio. So now that we have all of the good stuff out of the way that helps us pay for this, we are so excited to have one of our exciting, I think I've said exciting about 20,000 times, so I'm going to cut exciting. We have a really great topic that we're going to be discussing this evening, and that is bicycle, the effects of bipolar disorder on relationships. And a lot of times people don't even know that they're living with bipolar. They just think that, you know, they act that way because they just act that way. And it is their normal, but they don't know what their normal really is or what their normal really means. So we wanted to be able to give you topics like bipolar disorder and how to live with it. And actually those that even live with us, that's kind of one of the main things that we want to put out there to America and the nation is it's not only the people that live with bipolar disorder, but it's a lot of times people who are living with them and how they are responding to or not responding to this disorder. And I don't say we're suffering with bipolar disorder. I say that we're living with it because it is something that you learn to adapt to. It is something that you learn to adjust, and you live your life accordingly. And we're going to talk to our special guest, who I have just fallen in love with. She is absolutely a hoot. She's so funny, but she also has lived with this for a long time and finally got it to a place that we can talk about it, we can laugh about it, and we can live with it. So I'm really, really proud of her, proud of those who acknowledge that they live with this disorder, proud of those who are able to finally step up and go, maybe I need to look into the possibilities of having it and what I can do to live with it on a daily basis. Glad that you guys have joined us. It has been a long day of getting this show together, but we're excited about it. We're excited about Loudmouth Radio, and our producer, Sabrina Sunny Spoon Smith, has really done an amazing job of putting together some awesome shows that are just really tackling things that a lot of people are really afraid to tackle. Even today we were going over the lineup of the next few week shows, and we had someone to introduce a topic that is just absolutely a hoot. After this show, we're going to have our lineup, so it may be some changes. So even if, as you log in on air or online, you'll be able to see the lineup presently. So we may do some changes because we have had a lot of people that kind of called in or emailed us and said that, you know, what about this topic or what about that topic? So we're really excited. We do want you guys to call us if you have any questions, or we want you to be able to go online. You can listen to us via Facebook and on the Blog Talk Radio itself. I have my producers in different ones saying, what's this, what's that? So, guys, if you hear us make mistakes or you hear us do any of that, it's cool because it's my show. I can do that. So, you know, we're not going to have any pressures or any stresses with this. We want to thank again our sponsor, Scarlet Place Apartments, has really just been fantastic in standing behind us and giving us, you know, some awesome opportunities. So, kudos for Scarlet Place Apartments in Jonesboro, Georgia. And again, we want to thank Loudmouth Radio Network. You guys are really going to be hearing that a lot throughout the show, and you're going to be hearing a lot about some of the programs that are coming up with this particular new media. So we're going to get ready to bring in our guest, who just amazing individual. She goes by the name of Sue, but her name is Susan Ryerson, and she's going to come on and join us. We welcomed her into the studio. We decided we wanted to do this in person because, you know, Blog Talk is fantastic. You can go online, you can call in, and you can be in all parts of the world and just have a show. This is a fantastic opportunity. But we wanted to get together so we could laugh together and we could really just kind of bounce off each other this particular topic. So I want to ask Sue to come on and just be a part of this program with us. Sue, are you with us?
I sure am.
Welcome, you, Sue. I'm so glad you're finally with us. We had a little technical difficulty there, a little space in the place.
It's okay, it's your first run.
You know what's so funny? It's my first run for my own individual show, but not my first run on Blog Talk. But when you're on this side of the table and you're going, okay, mash this button, do this, do that, it's just a little bit different. But nevertheless, like I said, we don't care about mistakes here. This is fun, and we're going to get through it, and we have a lot of supporters. So welcome again, Sue. If you would tell our Blog Talk listeners just who you are and some of the little bit of things that you do.
Okay. I'm originally from New Jersey, which they'll be able to tell by my accent pretty soon. 51 years old. I'm a stand-up comic, and I've been doing comedy for years and years, and was diagnosed bipolar when I was 27 years old, and know probably better than most people just how it does affect relationships.
Okay.
Because it does.
Well, fantastic. Sue, now, slow it down, Jersey girl. Because Sue just rushed right through that comedy part of her life, and she has really had a strong run of being a comedian. And tell them a little bit about some of the people who you've worked with, Sue.
Earlier in my career, when I was in my 20s, I met some of the most famous people out there in comedy, like Elaine Boozler, Rita Rudner, Jay Leno, Billy Crystal. I'm trying to think of who else people would really know, but those were the ones of great notoriety. Sam Kinison.
Wow.
And he's a lunatic on or off stage, or was a lunatic on or off stage. Took over a show the minute he walked in the room. So it was fascinating because I got to meet the best of the best
right.
and get some of their tips. I worked with Rosie O'Donnell
oh my God.
For 2 years.
My Rosie.
Yeah, she was really cool, very sweet lady. And one of the few comics actually sat down and helped me from being a green comic into being a working comic.
Wow.
So I owe her a lot for that.
Wow, that's awesome. A lot of people, you know, would never have had that experience. And for you to have had that is amazing. Amazing. Tell me something, Sue. How have you come into your own with living with bipolar disorder? I know you have a long little history here and have done some really awesome things within the community with this disorder. So let's kind of dive right into it and kind of talk about that.
Okay. Early on, like I said, I was diagnosed when I was 27, but I was aware of having a problem probably 2 years previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I didn't feel right. I didn't react to things the way other people reacted to things. There was a difference between me and everybody I knew.
Mm-hmm.
There was a history in my family, so I was pretty sure I knew what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got the courage up to go see a doctor about it, and she confirmed exactly. I mean, I walked into her office and said, I'm manic depressive. And to which she said, oh, really? I said, no, I'm sure of it. I'm manic depressive, and I need drugs.
Shut up.
And yeah, and she cracked up laughing. And we sat and we talked for a while, and she went through a battery of question and answers.
Right, right.
And she said, you're right. She said, you're absolutely right. She said, you have every sign of manic depression, and plus I had it in the family.
Oh, my God. So, okay, that was going to be my question. So you knew of the manic depressive state because of family history.
Right. I witnessed it.
Okay, so because most people don't have that. Right. So for you to know that, and during that time, I mean, not to say that
I'm ancient.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You really are. No, just kidding. But during that time, you know, computers, it's not that computers are so old, but at that time it wasn't like it is now where you just pop a Google and just look it up. It, you know, you had to do a little bit more research.
It was really just paying attention to what was around me. I had an aunt that was severely manic.
Wow.
And was on medication, and she would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew when she wasn't taking it.
Right.
Totally different person.
Right.
And, you know, of course, I would question, you know, my mom and dad, you know, why is Aunt Barbara acting the way she is? And they would explain it. They weren't covering it up or anything like that. You know, it's just that she was sick and she wasn't taking her medication. They were very upfront about it.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, they tried to keep her, if she was in a severe manic state, to keep her away from the kids.
Mm.
You know, because at that point, nobody knew how to handle
right.
you know,
what
manic
type of
depression.
Things would she do, and we don't really have to dive into her story, but just kind of making you see or compare some things to what you started to do or noticed that you did. What were some of the things that she may have done that were a little bit concerns for the kid?
She would go into a severe manic state, which is the high.
Mm-hmm.
And she this happens with a lot of manics too, especially when they're in that state. They become religious, but they choose a different religion every single time they're manic. So they're Buddhists on Tuesday, and then they fluctuate, and on Thursday they're into Zen. And I mean, just it's funny. It's almost fun, you know.
Yeah.
I see that. My perspective is it's funny. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a sad funny. So they were kind of like, you know, they were raising us Catholic, going, knock it off. Knock it off, just leave the kids alone. Just things like that. She was wonderfully creative.
Yeah.
And we would notice that her creativity would go to a new high
mm-hmm.
when she became manic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another sign. I loved that part of her.
Yeah.
She did beautiful paintings and drawings and sketches, just magnificent, that like I could never reproduce. So I kind of envied her the ability to do something like that,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that there was a price you paid for being that creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from just witnessing it when I was younger, I was still aware of it when I was in my 20s and saying to myself, this resembles somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I see it coming. And I didn't want to get as far into it as she did.
Right.
I wanted to get medicated and get better.
Right.
You know, feel better.
Okay, so when you finally said, hey, this looks like the man in the mirror here, when you went into the doctor's office, what sort of things had you noticed? Really about you. Now, we know Aunt Barbara, and, you know, and I'll come in a little bit later and share some of my own stories about, you know, how I went, aha. But what were some of the things that actually got you, like specific things? Because a lot of people, and let me just interject this, a lot of people really, they are in the suffering state. And I think you suffer until you come into the knowledge of this is what this is and how to manage it, and then you can live with it, and then you have a life. You no longer have that, oh, my God, I'm just lazy, stupid, crazy, out of control kind of person.
Right.
So what were some of the specific things that you can tell us?
Well, I was doing stand-up at the time, and I noticed that if I was in a manic state, I was very funny, but in a different way than when I was not in a manic state. When I became manic, I would go into a rant on stage, a very funny rant, where I would just let loose about anything I was thinking of, and it would last 20 to 30 minutes. That's how long the rant, at a very high energy level, and I would be exhausted when I got done. I would get off stage and just drip sweat. And I noticed that didn't happen every time, so I was like, well, if I can't do it every time and I'm only doing it some of the time, something's wrong. Something's triggering me to make me go into the rant. What is it? It would be, on one occasion, it was a car ride from New Jersey to Connecticut that was disastrous. I was 15 minutes late for the headlining slot, which did not make the booker very happy. you don't show up late when you're headlining.
Yeah, you don't do that. You don't do that.
And it was a lot of construction, and I got very irritated that this construction was getting in the way of me getting to my show. By the time I got there, I had gotten into such a state that I walked up on stage with a full head of steam and just went for half an hour about construction. Very funny, but out of place.
Right.
And you could see people almost looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Because you're just, you won't stop. I couldn't. I realized I could not stop that rant. It had to finish. And that's when I started noticing it was happening more frequently, that things were irritating me more and more. Because I was in a manic state and very irritable. And I noticed that, you know, it was now working to my detriment. I couldn't control it anymore. I had no control over when the rant would start. It would start on or off stage. And I was ranting at people that I knew. I was taking it out on people, and I wasn't just performing. I was doing other things with it. That's when I kind of got clued in and said, this is just not good. This is not normal.
Wow. You know what? A lot of people, myself included, you know, when you look back and once you and by the way, audience, I don't know if I've said this to you formally, but, you know, I do live with bipolar disorder. And the creative side, as Sue said, I am so ecstatic that I am this bipolar person because your creativity is amazing. You are able to do the unthinkable. You can, you know, reach highs that nobody else can. You can fly. You can jump over mountains. You can do so many things. But then on the other side, when you're out of control and you're doing things, as Sue is talking about, where it's just like, okay, I'm doing this, but I don't quite know why, and I don't know quite how to stop, or I don't know quite how to control it, that's the side that can become dangerous at times. And depending on where you are and what level, and we'll talk about the different levels of bipolar disorder, but depending on where you are, those things can become harmful, not only to yourself but to other people. But so you were at a state, you figured it out, you go to the doctor, automatically you tell the doctor what's going on with you. What happened from that point when she said, yeah, you're right?
She agreed, and she put me on lithium, which is the oldest drug
in the world.
In the world for anything bipolar or manic. And it worked immediately. I was very, very fortunate. That's very odd for something to work that quickly.
And I've known other people that have been on lithium that it did not work well for them at all. They were zombies. Like, this whole you that I'm seeing on lithium was not the experience that I've seen other people. And so that's amazing that it worked for you. How did it, well, that was the drug at the time, but number one. But what did you feel? Like, you went from out of control sometimes to feeling what? Like, did you
a much calmer state? Much calmer state. It was much calmer. I didn't rant quite as much. It's never going to go away.
Right.
I'm bipolar. I'm treated, but I still have bipolar, so it doesn't disappear. But, I mean, there was a noticeable difference. I was able to focus a little bit better at work. You know, I wasn't as irritable. It kept that under control. But what it also did was, in my mind, because I had been funny because of my rants, in my mind, I said, I'm not funny anymore.
Right.
And within just a few years, I quit doing comedy. I was sure that I wasn't funny anymore, that, you know, how could it be the same? For so many years, I've been working in the manic state, you know, and it's sometimes induced, you know, on stage. And all of a sudden, I couldn't even get that to come out.
Wow.
Because, you know, it was being suppressed.
Exactly.
And I was sure that I could never be funny again. So I quit for 15 years.
Because you have been doing it at that time. When you first went to the doctor, how long had you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing comedy about 7 or 8 years already.
And so then you go to the doctor and you go, aha, I'm not funny.
Right.
And so 15 years goes by,
mm-hmm.
and what are you doing?
Well, in between.
What are you doing?
In between, I said, I'm going to conform.
And you're going to go get a real job.
And I'm going to be a real person.
High five.
Yeah, like everybody else. And that doesn't work real well with us. But
yeah.
So I did offshoots. I was a collections agent,
mm-hmm.
and I did, and bored to tears. Just
two
bored
pieces.
To tears. Yeah, I was like, this is about as dull as you can get. And eventually what I did was I opened up a repossession agency, which was perfect.
Perfect for you.
Perfect.
Hello, people.
It kept me on my toes.
Exactly, because you got to get out. Mm-hmm. You were not controlled by the office and
nope.
the real job mentality. I love
nope.
you.
So I did that for quite a few years and enjoyed it immensely. And I don't know about other bipolar people, but in my case, I have to have an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
You have to scare the living crap out of me at least once a day, or I just don't enjoy myself.
Right.
I have to have that rush, and that was perfect.
Okay.
That was perfect, because I got scared 2 and 3 times a day sometimes. depending on where I was and what I was doing.
Hello, I need your car. I'm going to blow your face off if you touch my car. Yeah, that's an adrenaline rush right there. Mm-hmm.
Can I get out of here with this car without dying?
Now.
I love that part. Yeah. that kept me busy for quite a few years. And really, after I closed the business, I kind of floundered because I was like, nothing was giving me
the rush
that high that I needed. And I had an old friend call out of the blue 5 years ago and hadn't talked to me in like 20 years and just said, what are you doing? And I described a number of things that I was trying to get into. And she just said, well, why don't you do comedy? So I started over again.
Yeah, and you're like, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Thanks. Yeah. And it was just like right in my face. I was just like, oh, yeah, how about that? So I did. I started comedy over again. And I've been doing it ever since then, and it's my mainstay, and that is the rush that I get.
Yeah.
Because that's a high. When you step on stage and you're standing in front of people and going, I hope I can make them laugh tonight.
Right.
That's the rush.
Wow.
So.
Okay, so now we've done all that, we've covered all that. Did you ever go back to the doctor and get a reassessment of where you were or, first of all, I think we need to tell people where bipolar levels are. And, oh, by the way, guys, Sue is getting ready to do a fantastic bipolar documentary. So we're really totally, I know I've said this, we're excited. I'm going to come up with something else in a few minutes. But for now, excited is the word. So we're excited for Sue because this is something that, first of all, to not have the stigma of you're crazy, you're stupid, you're, the joke of, oh, she must be bipolar. Hell yeah, I'm bipolar. So not to have that stigma behind it and to be able to talk freely about it like we're talking about, hey, let's go shopping, it's courageous, number one. It's owning your own. It's being authentic finally and not really caring whether somebody looks at you in a different way. And I think even for me, coming to that place in life where you're saying, this is who I am, and you and I have talked about it before,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about how friends want to tell you what you should remember when you can't remember what you just said in the last sentence, but they want you to remember what happened a year ago. It's just like, for real. But she's getting ready to really expose all of the things that bipolar does with the documentary. So we are really just going to be looking forward to her doing that. But what I wanted to say was a lot of people don't know the different levels. We're talking about it, but, we hear it in a standard form. So let's kind of break down bipolar disorder. We've talked about the manic side, but let's just kind of give the simplistic form, if we can really say bipolar disorder is simplistic, because it's a little bit not. But let's kind of tell them a little bit what it is. And I have sheets if we need to.
Cheat sheets.
I don't know where they are, but I do have them.
I've been looking at this stuff for months now. But bipolar disorder really is a number of things. Most people go, oh, that's when you go from low to high,
right,
from high to low.
That's one thing.
There's more to it.
Yep.
Yes, that's the main, that's the biggest
right.
telltale sign of bipolar. It's also inability to focus.
Yep.
Racing thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And severe depressions that come on very suddenly, very quickly, and for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as the manic high
right.
will come on for no
the
particular reason.
The excitement is just overjoyed.
If we are prone to outbursts,
mm-hmm.
Especially if we're feeling pressured of some type, we will have an outburst. We don't have a filter, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're lacking the filter that other people have. We're going to speak
like
our mind.
That's the
I
best.
Love not having
that,
a filter.
That's the best one. The best one, you know, but then again, people who are 40 and plus can say, well, we're all bipolar because we don't give a what. After a certain point and certain time in life, you really kind of stop caring. But past that, you don't have a fit. But I like the fact, like, that's going to be my new definition. With bipolar disorder, there is no filter. Or that very limited filter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
And a lot of it, when you realize you don't have a filter, there's those times I don't, like you said, I don't care if I have a filter or not. But there's other times when I'm meeting with somebody that
I
have to, you know, do a production for or something like that, that I'm very careful about putting
my filter
in place.
And you're like putting up your finger like, hold on, I'm right
on, I'm just going to get my filter back.
I'm going to get my filter. I'm going to the bathroom, not really going to use it, just going to get a filter. Okay.
And, I mean, the lithium does help with that. Because it suppresses everything,
right.
So it keeps the filter kind of working. But you actually have to make your own effort
you do.
To control that as well.
You do.
I mean, medication goes so far,
yeah.
The rest is up to you.
That
you have to work at it every single day. You know, you're going to have to work at that every single day at, I have to not do this because this is not the norm. This is not what I should be doing.
Right.
Because it's offensive to some people.
Right.
Anybody that knows me and is close to me has seen me have no filter many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they just go,
yeah,
yes,
that's
right.
Yeah,
it's just so. And there's no malintent. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just popping off.
Right.
But, you know, some people really can't handle it. They can't
yeah.
handle that we have no filter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has issues, so my thing is that's my issue.
Right.
So I'll you know, give you yours. You give me mine.
Right. Well, we had somebody that texts in, because, guys, just so you know, we do have a live audience, so, you know, you're welcome to go online and send us questions. And somebody said, well, what really is a filter? And I just kind of wanted to say that filter meaning is, for me, if somebody says, oh, that's a pretty baby, and they don't really mean it's a pretty baby, but they just kind of say it. Usually people with bipolar disorder kind of go, that baby is so ugly. Okay? That is just an ugly child. You remember the Seinfeld show? Oh, my God, that's an ugly baby. Yeah, but, you know, so you have no barriers, sometime of thought. Yes, possibly. So you have no barriers, or you have few. It just you spurt it out, you just say whatever you want to say, you just do whatever you want to do without constraints. You worry about what happens later if you think about it at all. So that's kind of what the filter is, but you just keep it going. The highs are tremendous. That's usually when you're in the most creative form, you're in the most loving form, you give away all of your furniture, you give away all of your money, you just, oh, my God, life is just great, and I'll get it again tomorrow, and you don't even know that tomorrow does not really exist. On the outburst, and I found so many different people. It's so funny, once you realize that you are, or you've been diagnosed that you are, you kind of start walking around going, bipolar, bipolar, bipolar.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you're bipolar. You're borderline bipolar. So can tell that you're
yep.
bipolar.
Oh, yeah, you start to pick it up on other people really easily.
You do, you do. Well, I've just kind of been clued in that we have a caller. So we want to have the caller to come in and ask a question. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, hello, Jazzy. This is JL.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, let me say that I have really enjoyed your first show, and it's been a great conversation. And to your guests, welcome to Loudmouth.
Oh,
I listen to you guys talk. My friends always tell me I'm bipolar, you know. And I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk about it, and I'm like, wow, they're talking about me. I'm laughing at myself. because I no longer can argue with my friends when they tell me I'm bipolar. Now I'm going to say, you're right, I am. And I got a professional who has signed off on that. So I guess I had to just add that to my list of many accomplishments. I am now bipolar. But it's been interesting to learn more about the is it a disease? What is it? What do you guys call it? It's not a disease, is it?
No. See, the difference between a disease and disorder, most diseases have to, you know, do major research to find a cure. This one is just meaning that you have some imbalances that, you know, are treatable. And it's been just such a stigma for a very long time that now finally you have so many celebrities that finally came out and go, guess what, I'm bipolar. And that has made it a softer blow so that the regular Main Street people can finally go into the office, say, hey, these are the things that I'm dealing with. These are some of the things that I'm doing. Some of the things are out of control that I don't quite, you know, feel comfortable with because I don't see other people in my circle sometimes that are dealing with the same thing. Unless you have something to bounce it off of, or like Sue is saying, unless you have had members of your family or very close friends that have actually been diagnosed, you just think you're normal for you. But if you bounce it off of somebody who does not have it, then you're the abnormal one. And I'm being very cautious, JL, by saying that because who's normal? What is normal? You see what I mean? But people will point to you and say, well, you're not normal because you're not doing what I'm doing. But once you have an idea of what bipolar disorder is, then you can do like you're doing and say, hey, well, that's some of the things that I do, or that may be all of the things that I do, and how you can better manage it if you're having those out-of-control moments.
Let me ask you a guess, Sue, this. Does bipolar strike any particular ethnic group more than another?
No, but it's underdiagnosed in some cultures, in some ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
The average white culture, they're the ones that go and get diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
In the black culture, they do not even like to admit to mental illness whatsoever.
Period.
So a lot of times when a young black male feels that he has something wrong with him, he'll be told to go and pray in church instead.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
right.
Just go pray on it and it'll go away. So he doesn't get diagnosed and he goes through his life miserable. The same thing is true, probably even worse, in Latino culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the machismo. It's that macho image that they have to keep up. And I feel particularly sorry for the men. They get it twice as bad as the women in those cultures. In my documentary, I'm going to approach that subject specifically because I'd like to see more blacks and Latinos and Asians and all the other what's considered minority groups feeling okay, getting past the stigma and feeling okay about going and getting diagnosed and getting help.
Gotcha. Have you ever thought about writing a book about your personal journey of discovery?
That's coming out as soon as the movie is done.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And the documentary is coming out this year.
We're shooting for the end of September for it to be edited and done.
Well, congratulations on this and bringing this light to this this behavior. And I've learned a lot, and as I continue to listen, and also I'm listening to hear some jokes, okay? You know, I want to hear some of your favorite jokes.
Next time.
So, okay, that's the next time. Okay, well, I look forward to hearing some of your jokes the next time. And, Jazz, keep it up. You're doing a great job, okay,
thank
ladies?
Thank you, darling.
Okay,
thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic, Dale. We really appreciate you. You know, this show is called The Bare Truth, Love, Life, Sex, and Flowers. So we're going to kind of, we've already talked about the life experience of what bipolar can do and some of the things. And we haven't even broached half of what it does in life. But we want to kind of dive into now how it affects relationships, and then we're going to slide into what it does sexually. And Sue, by the way, has been ready to talk about sex like all day. Like all day. So one of our favorite subjects in the entire universe. We're going to talk about how bipolar disorder really affects you in sex as well as relationship and finances, because it really can wreak havoc in your finances. But so, Sue, we've kind of covered ground about the highs and lows, not having the filters. What do you see? Well, before we say relationship, let's kind of talk about let me just kind of say, I said this to a group on Sunday. We were talking about how finances can affect relationships. You know, it's one of the biggest, finances, sex, and family are some of the biggest that affect relationships. But with bipolar disorder, having that sporadic and erratic kind of mindset, when you have money issues with a bipolar disorder person, can be like the end of the world. Because give me the money to go pay the rent at one point or go pay the light bill. I'm on my way, and this is a true story, I was on my way to pay the light bill, okay? Got the money, everything's cool. I needed to stop. This was many, many years ago, about 20 years ago. I needed to go to Walmart to pick up a bell pepper to cook. I went to Walmart to pick up a bell pepper, okay? I came out with the light bill money gone, didn't get the bell pepper because I got distracted. Don't even remember what I bought. Got out, went home, sat in the parking lot, and cried to pieces because I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
I know I need to go pay the light bill. And it's things like that that, you know, people with bipolar disorder, you don't mean to. God knows you don't mean to. You are trying so desperately to do the right thing. But it doesn't work. You know, so it's stuff like that that takes you into areas that are not, and then you're mad because you don't want anybody to tell you you don't know how to do finances, because on the other end, you're excellent. You planned it out.
Yep.
You got it. You're not spending a dime. Don't ask me for a penny. It's not happening. And you go all the way left.
Mm-hmm.
So you either go all the way right or you go all the way left. So a lot of times that expenditure or that, you know, blow it all out comes not because you just don't know how to do things, but your brain does not function the same way as a person who necessarily would not. So I think we're being flagged again. These flags, boy. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, you're welcome in.
Hi.
Hi.
Jazzy?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, Jazzy. This is Rod.
Hi, honey.
Hey, how are you? Congratulations.
I'm good. Thank you, darling. Thank you much.
I'm just sitting up here and I'm listening to the topic, and as you know, I did do some study in psychology myself, and so I wondered what does Susan have to say about bipolar disorder? Or can you talk about bipolar disorder being misdiagnosed with schizophrenia?
Oh wow, mm-hmm. That's an excellent.
Her.
You grab that one.
Okay. Gee, thanks. Right. Bipolar is attached to schizophrenia in a lot of cases. It's not abnormal to see a diagnosis of bipolar disorder with a touch of schizophrenia.
Or ADHD, matter of fact.
Or ADHD. I'm kind of, to me, ADHD and bipolar are linked
almost
forever.
Linked,
yeah, they're linked forever. You have one, you have the other.
Yes. True.
And honestly, the ADHD pisses me off more than the bipolar does.
Wow. Okay, we're going to get into that soon.
Yeah, being distracted drives me crazy because it happens all the time.
You know, I have a lavender shot right here if you need one.
No, I'm not going to rant or anything. but is there a specific question you have about the schizophrenia and the bipolar, or...?
Well, I've done a triage or mental health triage in emergency room settings, and so often I think when people with bipolar disorder come in their manic state, it's commonly diagnosed as schizophrenia because
right.
they
mm-hmm.
lack characteristics. And so we had to watch out for that. And I just, you know, I wonder how many more people are really out there, or are they getting the treatment that they need and they're being misdiagnosed, or have you seen that a lot, you know?
From what I've read, that's one of our major issues,
mm-hmm.
is being misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to take a while to resolve that because we don't have blood tests that we can take.
Right. right,
that
right.
determine what we have.
It's
really
just, hey, what? Talk to me. Tell
yeah, it's
me
just
what's
they listen to, you know, you describe what you've been going through, and they make a decision from that. And that's a little scary because the schizophrenia and a lot of the treatment for schizophrenia and bipolar are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So they get lumped together anyway.
Right.
Or they get underdiagnosed,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, oh, you know, you're just a little depressed, and, you know, you need to take a little rest or whatever, and, you know, they don't take the time to really – you have some people that listen intently, and then you have the other side that doesn't because it's just, okay, whatever. They give you, you know, ibuprofen and go home and rest. They give you some – sedative and go home and just you just need some rest. And true enough, exercise, health, and rest play a big part in any disorder. However, it's underdiagnosed a lot of times and misdiagnosed. So, you know, you're getting medications that have nothing to do with where you are, or they're over medicating you, and so you're not even yourself. You're walking around like a zombie.
Yep. And that's really a matter of you taking upon yourself to research
mm-hmm.
whatever they tell you. If they say, okay, you're bipolar, go take a real good look and read as much as you can. That's what I did. I spent years making sure that that's really what my diagnosis should be. And I am, like, as true a bipolar as they come.
Wow.
I am the definition of bipolar.
How long did it take them to get that diagnosis for you?
In my case, it was very easy. It was in my family. We had it back on my dad's side. So I knew that there was going to be a tendency towards it, you know, in my generation, that we were, you know, I'm one of three children, and I knew one of us was probably going to get hit with it because it averages out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I started to notice some aberrations in my own behavior, I could compare it to the people in my family that I knew were bipolar, and I could see that I was doing the same exact things they were doing when they were not diagnosed. So my diagnosis was fairly easy.
And so you already sort of had that support system. I mean, I guess your family had already, since they had dealt with it, they were comfortable with seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist regarding those issues.
Yeah, they didn't, it didn't like freak them out or anything when I came to them and said, you know, I went to the doctor and, you know, they diagnosed me, and that time it was manic depression. You know, I said,
right.
You know, they're 99% sure that's what I have. It didn't shock them.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had actually spent a lot of time reading about it because she knew it was going to be in a family somewhere. So she was already prepared for it, which was nice. And, I mean, they have been great for the past 24 years in, you know, in dealing with, they know I'm the different kid. I'm just different one, you know.
Just one last question, and I'm
sure.
I just caught the middle of the show, so you guys might have already talked about this. But in regards to relationships, what do you suggest with people that are dealing with mental health issues? Do you suggest that they discuss that right away, or is that something that needs to be eased into?
Yes. I always tell, if I'm dating anybody or, you know, getting serious with anybody, the first thing I tell them is about the disorder I have. And I try to include as much information as I can about what can happen, and, you know, I also give them, like, the probability. I went 24 years without an episode. Without a major episode, which is not an easy feat, and then had one. But the warning was there. I had said, these things can happen. You know, like, these are the things that can happen, probability very low, but it happened anyway. But in order, you know, I'm very upfront about, these are the things that I do that are a little screwy, so don't be alarmed.
Exactly.
You know, don't be alarmed if I do something like this, or if I say something like this. If I fly off the handle because my shoelace broke, sorry. Because I will take my speaker and throw it against the wall because the shoelace broke. But if you put me in the middle of a crisis where somebody is bleeding to death, I'm perfectly fine.
Right. It's amazing, isn't
so
it?
So it's like another part of us takes over. We don't know what it's from or why, but I just know that's how I am.
Right.
And that's, it's going to stay that way. I'm very sure it's going to stay that way. And but still, it's up to the bipolar person to explain to their partner or, you know, whoever they're living with as much as they can about what they have and what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I do this, it's because of this. Don't get afraid. You know, if I pop off because, you know, my shoelace broke, just don't stand in the way of the sneaker. Just get out of the way. Let me throw it, and I'll be fine. You know, and really, most people are very good about it. But you have to have a very understanding person. You know, you have to be, you know, partnered with a very understanding person that they can accept that you're flawed and you've got a, you know, a pretty good sized flaw. But that there's 90% of you that is just fine.
So beautiful, so wonderful. I call it a beautiful mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I've kind of coined it the last few years, Roderick, as having that beautiful mind. And, you know, if you're the lucky one, you get to have that. And all that comes with that beautiful mind. But we had just gotten ready to kind of dive into, so you came in at the right time, of talking about the effects that it has on relationships in general. Because it really is something that a person has to be ready for. And I agree with Sue, you definitely have to say, listen, hey, by the way, I'm bipolar. Or not even so much owning the bipolar as you, but owning the fact that you live with it. And oftentimes the way somebody else thinks or that they think you should think and how you should handle something, well, you don't have to handle it like this. You don't have to think this. You don't have to do this. And, you know, you're looking at them like, well, yes, I do, because that's just kind of the way I do it. So it's important to share those things with a person that you're interested in and allow them, first of all, explaining to them what it is and what it is not, and the misdiagnosis, the misunderstandings of what bipolar disorder and the levels of bipolar disorder. Like me personally, I have had occasional outbursts, like rage outbursts, especially earlier on, because this has been with me for a very long time as well. But just to really finally get my diagnosis was a couple of years ago when I went into a extremely depressive state, and I just thought, you know what, I just want to sleep, and I want to sleep forever. And so having put myself out there to not even live anymore was when they finally said to me, you know what, let's kind of figure out what's going on and why you don't want to live. And it wasn't so much that I wanted to kill myself. I just didn't want to live. So getting to that space kind of made me realize what doctors had told me years ago was that I was borderline bipolar. Well, at that time, I had no clue what borderline bipolar disorder, much less bipolar disorder, was. So they just kind of coined it back in the day that you're just very depressive and that you've had some experience in your life that has brought you to this state. And so a few years ago, they finally said, no, we're just going to go ahead and let you know for real, you're bipolar disorder. So, No, go ahead.
No, I said it's interesting that you brought up A Beautiful Mind. You know, that movie was based on, there was a movie about called A Beautiful Mind.
Yes,
about
yes.
Mathematician or economist who had schizophrenia, as a matter of fact.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I coined it after that because not that I was schizophrenic, but that somebody loved him through that. That somebody said, I'm going to walk with you through this. And knowing that his mind was brilliant, but it was just different. And he handled things differently. And he had to do things to cope with it, to deal with it, and to live with it. And so I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. I'm not any of those derogatory or negative things. I am a wonderful, spectacular, fantastic, and any other thing that you want to say that's great and wonderful. But I have a mind that is beauty, that's full of beauty. And it is up to me, one, to appreciate and accept it and learn how to live with it. But it is also up to the person and or persons and or friendships and or jobs to be able to handle this me, not the me that they want it to be, this me. And if they can't, then I either don't need to work there, we don't need to be friends, we don't need to be lovers, we don't need to do anything that we correlate together, because this is just the mind that I have.
And also, the flip side is, you know, even though we do have outbursts and, you know, some negative things to us, it's an emotionally based disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Our emotions run high, and they can run high in different directions.
Yeah.
We also, when we fall in love with somebody, we do it to the 100th degree. We will be like the most loyal, loving people. And, like, love you till the end of time.
To the end
of
the earth.
That's the plus side. You know, and we're very caring. We're very demonstrative, usually. I get yelled at all the time because I hug people that I don't know.
At all. Can I shake your hand? I just want to touch you. Thank you.
I don't, you know, it's just that's more comfortable for me because I'm very effusive when I meet people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've had partners in the past that were almost like, you're a bit much sometimes. With, you know, it's like, all right, I'll back off, but it's just not me. So to me, that's the plus side, is that you're not going to find somebody, an ordinary or normal, quote, normal person,
quote,
that loves as hard as we do.
That's true. Very true.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and congratulations again, Jazzy, on your show. And,
Thank you.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Have a good night, guys.
Same here.
Thank you, Rod. And you know what? I just want to take time to really thank the listeners that have texted in and that have called in and just, you know, listened and asked questions, as well as just typed in and said that they're enjoying the show. I want to take a few minutes because we have to come back and pay the bills, so we want to definitely come back in and appreciate our sponsor.
Scarlet Place Apartments, considered Atlanta's hidden gem, offering 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartment homes. Scarlet Place is in a fabulous location, only minutes from Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport and a few miles from major interstates and downtown Atlanta. Residents of this community enjoy amenities such as vaulted ceilings, crown molding, and washer and dryer connections, fully equipped electric kitchens with spacious floor plans. Work out in our new fitness center, or simply relax by the pool. We invite you to call us for more information and schedule a personalized tour. Scarlet Place. See why our residents love to call us home. Located at 3500 Summer Court Drive, Jonesboro, Georgia. Phone number is 470-315-1194.
Oh, my God, I love that voice. And just in case you guys want that voice, you can't have it. Just wanted you to know that. I turn into that wonderful speaking voice just whenever I feel like it. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, once again, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Loud Mouth Radio. On Blog Talk Radio, for those of you on the internet, you can call a friend and let them know that they can call in to 347-826-7520 if they wanted to call and ask questions or if they just want to listen. You can also check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. You can go to Loud Mouth, and that's with two D's, L-O-U-D-D, Mouth Radio, on Facebook and on Twitter, to get in touch with us. You know, I have a producer that is just like the bomb diggity. I really appreciate her so much. She is just the bomb and the diggity. Hush, I know it's dated. I'm old. What can I say? What can I say? We appreciate Sabrina Sunny Spoon Smith for creating an avenue for us to get the word out on different topics. So we want to actually have people call in, ask us more questions. We're going to keep talking in the process, but you're welcome to call in and ask us questions. The number, again, is 347-826-7520. I'm glad I have these readers because I can read things and I can drop them down and see the big numbers on the screen. This is fantastic. Anywho, I wanted to continue to kind of talking about the relationships and the effects that it has on relationships, because a lot of times people get involved with these great lovers of bipolar disorder. Most people are afraid to tell people, like Roderick just asked a question, when should we tell somebody that we have it? Sue and I both agree that it should be upfront. Like, I don't even think you should be really serious about a person. I mean, maybe on the first date, I think it maybe is a weighing in of the person that you're seeing, but me personally, I just need to let you know up front. I mean, it's not, hey, my name is and I have bipolar, but
close to it.
Somewhere along the line, not too far from that, I think you should just kind of let people know what you live with and the things that you like and why you like them may be a result of living with this disorder. So I think it's pretty quickly that you should tell a person. But a lot of people will shun you for it. A lot of people will not want to be around you, and that's the realism of having the disorder or any disorder for that matter. Some people are not ready for it, and you do have to be ready, because if you have the bipolar where you're offensive in your language, where you're having very angry moods, and you know, you're having, I don't want to, don't touch me, don't be around me, get away from me, get out of my face, and in the next 5 minutes you're like, I love you, baby. It is a lot to deal with, and some people can't, and that's okay too. And if you find yourself on the opposite end where you're dealing with a person who has bipolar disorder, first and foremost, you have some people who don't know that they have it, so they're just acting just out of control. For lack of a better word, out of control, and not the crazy word, but and they don't know they have it, or they have not admitted to having it. It's a lot harder to me, don't you agree, Sue, to deal with that person because they've not addressed it. And if you haven't addressed it, then you don't know how to function with it, because you, I know, Sue, are on medication. I got off medication. I got off the medication that I was prescribed, because it made me a total zombie. I mean, I was not me. I was slow. My speech was more like that than an average speech. And I ended up just really kind of meditating and praying and seeking to find a natural remedy. And I actually found something called Natural Remedies. And it's naturalremedies.com that works with focus, works with bipolar, works with everything under the sun. That worked well for me. It only had a small drying of my mouth, whereas the medication that the doctors had prescribed dried me out completely. I had to drink like 4 gallons of water. Oh, my God, it was horrible. I had headaches. I had no sex drive at all, none, zero. And for me, that was like death. Death became me. I wanted to die. I was just like, kill me now. But, you know, so I got off of that, and I actually worked with my psychiatrist and my psychologist and therapist, you know, because I had all three. I was like, listen, I need to fix me. I need to work on me right now. But I began to work with them, and I ended up taking this supplement that is just, for me, was a lifesaver. It may or may not work for everybody, and a lot of people don't know about it, but you can find it online. It's called NativeRemedies.com. I should actually be a distributor because I love it so much, but nevertheless, it worked for me. This is just so funny here in the studio. I'm having a moment, guys. Hold on. This is great. I wish you could see it. This should be video. Anyways. Just for a brief moment, I'm being treated and cared for. This is great. But for me, it was a wonderful opportunity. But if people are not aware that they have it, they don't know how to treat it. And so if they don't know how to treat it, you're dealing with people who are walking around with this every day and in relationship with other people. So those other people are the sufferers, while the people with the disorder don't know that they're suffering. And or have not agreed to medication, they have not agreed to any kind of moderate journaling or marking down when they were having moods. They just ignore it altogether. So we're going to kind of briefly talk about really the effects that it has on other people. So I'll let Sue kind of jump back in there now.
Okay. I'm just going to do a brief overview of relationships.
Yes.
And
do that.
One of the difficulties I've gone through, and I was with somebody for 17 years.
Mm.
That's a long damn time, and I hope I never have to do that again.
You
but
are.
Anyway, no, I'm just with the right one, it would be okay. But here was the issue. I had a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I had a label.
Yeah.
I had a stigma.
Yeah.
The person I was with had a tremendous amount of issues stemming from a very upsetting childhood.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of abuse and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What always baffled me was anything they did
was great,
was okay, no
can
matter what kind
five?
Of issue, what it brought out in them, what horrible traits it formed in them. That was okay because poor them.
Can we have a silent moment just on that note? Okay, continue.
And if I had a moment, well, something was wrong with my meds. and I'm doing something wrong, and it's my fault.
I'm about to run around the studio at this moment.
And I have found this to be prevalent
yes.
in relationships with people. Everybody has issues, and honestly, I feel very badly for people. I had a wonderful childhood. I had a picture-perfect childhood. I was very fortunate. I'm very sorry for people that did not, but go get therapy if you didn't. Okay, because I'm not responsible for you, and it doesn't give you the right to act like an ass 90% of the time.
Oh,
and if
gosh.
I do it just a little bit because I've got a light switch that doesn't work on and off position all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's just a very unbalanced relationship. Because as a society, we have great empathy and sympathy for people who have been abused or have had a very difficult time in life. We have none of that.
No.
For people that have mental illness.
None.
It's a stigma. It's
terrible.
You're a bad person.
Right.
And it's also thought, since I'm stable, oh my God, 95% of the time completely stable, I had, in a recent relationship, I had them say, well, I don't think of you as sick. Well, you should, because I am. And just because I don't appear to be doesn't mean that there's not something ticking behind what you see ready to go off.
Right.
And that's a big mistake, is that if you're stable and you're strong, then you're perceived that way, and then you can't vary from that. You
mm-hmm.
can't have a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
But they can, because something happened to them in childhood.
Right. I so
it was environmental.
Agree with that, mm-hmm. because that's been my story for a very long time. Or if, you know, that's one of the things, if you tell somebody you're bipolar disorder that you live with it, that, you know, the minute something happens, it's almost like a woman with her period. The minute she says, oh, it's time for my period, then everything becomes, oh, it's just because it's time for your period.
Right.
Now, mind you, a lot of things do fall into that category, but it's not, well, okay, I broke a nail. Dang, I broke a nail. Oh, well, you said that because you're bipolar. You know what?
Yep.
Everything. Yep. I mean, you mm-hmm. cannot have a regular moment because everything is attached to that. We had a question in the process of us talking about that. We had a question that says, do you have to always take medicine or only be controlled with medicine, or, you know, do you have to always go to therapy? Do you always have to have medication? You know what? It's individual. I will tell anybody to embrace therapy. I will tell everybody to embrace therapy, because if you can't talk about what you're feeling about to anybody because of the stigmas or because of the thoughts that people will have about you, or even the thoughts that you may have about yourself, then you can't get the help that you may need to stabilize your moods, your life, or have those balancers. So therapy to me is number one. Getting a great physician to work with you so that you can find, you know, those key triggers that may be causing you to have the bipolar outburst. That is going to help you to now be able to say what medications you need. Now, Sue is a grand advocate for medication because it has worked for her. Me, I am a grand advocate for finding the medication or supplement that works well for you. I don't think that you need to walk around. I remember crying to a really dear friend of mine at the time and saying, I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life. I like me. I like the crazy, spontaneous, fun-loving me. I don't want to be drugged out to the point that I can't remember what day it is. I remember waking up on a heavy medication, and it was heavy only for me. I was on Cymbalta at the time because they had diagnosed me with fibromyalgia as well as bipolar disorder, and that was just like, okay, my body's hurting, and I'm depressed. Oh, wow. So I was on a really heavy dose for me, and I just couldn't function. I woke up literally every morning not knowing what day it was.
Oh, that's bad.
I could focus, but, like, if something terrible happened to me on this medication, I could not cry. Like, I would cry like this, I'll be done. And, you know, it would be something horrific like, okay, your mom just passed, and I'll be like, I'm so sad about that. And in my mind, I knew I should be, like,
more sad.
Just mortified, but I was like, well, I'm just sad about it, and oh well, I'm feeling okay about it.
And let's go do something.
Let's go play ball, you know, or something ridiculous. So medication is a key, but it is finding the medication and or supplement that works well for you. I don't think anybody should walk around with bipolar disorder and not be treated because it does not give you a full balance of life. Your diet matters, the exercise, your sleep matters, and having the right type of medication or supplement. And I hope that answered the question. Okay, we have a caller, so I want to definitely jump in there and answer this call. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
How you doing? My name is Jermaine, and I got back from Afghanistan about 6 months ago, and I'm just trying to get back into shape. I got some VA guys telling me that, you know, I'm trying to get back into the flow. It's kind of hard coming back from deployment. So do you have any advice for me?
Well, this sounds a lot like somebody I know.
Might be. I don't know.
Is this the Jermaine that I birthed like a long time ago?
8 years ago, that would be him.
Hi, son. How are you? Welcome back from Afghanistan.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It's good to be back.
You're a mess. So are you enjoying our show?
Oh, man, I'm loving the show. It's very inspiring. I'm loving it.
You know what? I'm so glad you called because let me tell you, audience, this is the kid who grew up with me. This poor, brave child that had to deal with his mom not knowing she had bipolar disorder so many years ago. You know, he constantly tells me now, Mom, get over it. I'm a great kid. I turned out great. He really did. But he had to really go through a lot with his mom and being a young mom and then having bipolar disorder and going through very abusive relationships that also didn't make bipolar disorder any better at all. And, you know, we could just have a whole show, just me and this kid and Sue. but, you know, so glad you called because let me just kind of throw out there really quickly, because we're talking about relationships, the effects of bipolar disorder and the relationships. So, yes. Son, having said all of the stuff that you may have heard or not heard, how did it affect you? Because you're one of those people who had to deal with me packing up the house when I got upset with your stepdad because he was doing some crazy stuff to your mom.
Right.
And it would be, can't pack up! Get the boxes. We're packing up. And then, you know, we packed the whole house.
Jermaine, I'm so sorry for you.
Oh, my God. We packed the whole house up.
Sorry.
And then by the end of the day, they're sitting there like, I know she's going to tell us to put it back. I know she's going to tell us to put it back. And I'm like, put it back. We're going to put it all back.
Oh, yeah,
sorry.
That is so bipolar.
So
it's
bipolar.
Completely bipolar.
So bipolar.
I would say, you know, growing up, you know, in that environment was definitely tough. You know, seeing some things as a kid you might not be ready for or ready to see, you know, or never really should see, to be honest with you. But at the same time, you know, it's made me a stronger person. I definitely have had to go through. To grow in my own relationship with my family and my children and try not to, you know, all children try to emulate their parents in certain ways. And so, you know, I've had to learn how to, you know, get away from some of the things that I saw. And it made me a better person, you know, to be completely honest with you. You know, if you never go through the pressures in life, then you don't turn out to be what God intended you to be, so, and that's the way I feel. So, you know, it was a blessing in disguise. At the time, it wasn't such a blessing, but now, looking back on it, hindsight 2020, you know, it's a blessing to have gone through the struggles. You know, I wish that to God that you didn't have to go through a lot of the pains that you went through. But like you said, you didn't know at the time that you had this disorder. So, either way, my mom's and I love you, and I'm proud of you. So.
You're going to make me tear up, you kid.
I want to have one of him.
I know, right? Isn't he the best? This kid is so amazing. He used to come up to me. I'd just be in one of my depressive moments and crying all the time. I mean, just that was my thing. I didn't do some of the things that people, you know, some other people.
So you were more on the depressive
side. I was the depressive one. And he would come up to me with that little hand of his. Actually, his hands were huge as a child. but he would come up to me and just put his hand on my back and just pat me and love me and just go, "Mommy, it's okay. Don't cry. Don't cry." And he would bring me dandelion flowers and, you know, they'd be all gone. So he'd bring me a stem, but, you know.
before I brought him.
He would bring me the stem of the dandelion and say, "Mommy, don't cry, it would be okay." And, you know, and I would then feel horrible because here's my kid encouraging
it was a role reversal.
Right. He took care of me for so many years.
So, Jermaine, can I have your number if I start crying?
Hey, you know, anytime.
Because I'm going to call you, and you have to send flowers to me. All right.
Sure, no worries.
And I ain't taking no stems.
You getting dandelion stems, chick. But, yeah, so, you know, this coming from now knowing, and I remember, you know, sending all of my kids texts because we don't hardly talk. We are on Facebook. That's our livelihood. But remembering saying, "Guess what, guys, I'm bipolar. This is great." I finally figured it out.
But you have a name for it.
You have a path,
a course to take.
Right.
You know, it's not knowing.
Right.
It's not knowing that really can drive you insane more than you already are.
And it's so funny because I remember Jermaine was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and he was just my little bundle of joy. And we were both going through similar behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, Jermaine? And they were like, "Okay, he's just ADHD, that child." And then the lady, I'm telling the lady, "Yeah, he is," and da-da-da-da-da, and she starts asking me about me because she says, "Okay, usually the child gets it from a parent or both." And so, of course, I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and then to kind of tie it over into bipolar disorder at a later time in life was just, for me, it was phenomenal because then I could understand why I did so many of the weirdo things.
Well, you need an accounting. It's like I've been behaving very strangely for X amount of years.
Yeah.
I want to know why. I can't change it, but I'd like to know why I did it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jermaine?
Yes, I'm still here.
Honey, I love you. I appreciate you so much. You have been the best oldest son and mother could ever ask for, and I do publicly say I apologize for all of the things that I did not know. And some of the crazy things that I did to you and your dad, poor man. poor man. You know, but just I publicly apologize for what I did not know. Now that I know, most definitely, I do better. And I appreciate you for loving me through all of that.
Well, thank you, Mom. I love you, too. You know, it wasn't that bad. I love you so much, and, you know, I wish you all the best in all your endeavors, okay?
Thank you, baby. You too, and your three kings, right? Your company.
Crown 3 Entertainment.
Yes.
To make it happen. So.
See, that's what creative bipolar people do. We create creative creative children. We really do.
I have a creative dog.
Yeah. Hey, high five for the four legs.
There you go.
Okay, baby. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye bye. Oh my God, that was so fabulous!
That was cool.
Best kids in the whole world.
Huh,
I really do. So now, listeners, you kind of see some of the things that our children, our relationships, in intimacy, how that is affected. So, as we stated, this show is about love, life, sex. Let's talk about sex, baby.
I always like that song.
I know. Wasn't that the coolest? I asked my producer, could she please find that music and put it on here? But, you know, we didn't have that moment, so maybe we'll have that at the end of the show. We'll be able to play that going out.
I think we should just have the producer sing it.
That's even better.
There you
go. Oh, my God, if you could see her dance, it is even better. But anyways, so we're going to talk about sex and the bipolar disorder liver. And, guys, let me just tell you, if you have children in the room, you might want to either clog their ears or go ahead and prepare them for some big grown-up sex talk. My kids that are listening, you might not want to hear. No, it's okay. It's okay because I've talked about sex with my children very, very early, actually.
I'm still waiting for my mother to talk to me about it.
Oh, my God. Sue, have you haven't had the talk?
I'm 51 and she's 78, so pretty soon. Pretty soon.
I love it.
I'm going up to see her in a couple of weeks. I'm going to sit her down and go, look, it's just time, okay?
Let's talk. Okay, so sex and the bipolar disorder person. Let me just tell you, as we have discussed from the beginning, it's highs and lows. But I'm going to start on the highs because when I tell you, if you have been with a person with bipolar disorder, the sex is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely. Did you hear that scream, people? You cannot handle the sexapades of a bipolar disorder person. It is sex from morning to the night. It is sex every day, several times a day. It is sex all of the time.
It's back-to-back in one session.
And the sessions are long.
Long, because we're never satisfied. That's the whole problem.
You never are satisfied. Your body is aching, and you're saying, if I could just do that one more time.
One more time.
It may be a fulfillment. And the saddest, wonderfulest part is that it feels also great. It feels also good. But really, there is a hole. There is a void that no person can really feel. So for those of you that have been with some of us, know that it was not about you. Okay? You were not inadequate. You weren't. It was just that we were overachievers.
Yes.
In that area. And unfortunately, we couldn't help it. And most of the time, we don't want to help it because that's another part that we like. So I remember so many times, you know, at certain points in my life where people were like, for real, I can't do this 4 or 5 hour session. I can't do it. I'm so done. I'm so over it. I mean, you just need to go get a teddy bear at this point. Do what the dogs do. You know, I remember my son, that one that just called, and he was just singing this song, and I was like, what are you singing? And he was like, you and me, Mom, ain't nothing but mammals, let's do it like we do in the Discovery Channel. Have you ever heard that
song? No.
This song is hilarious. But it's just, it's an animalistic type of desire. It's, you just really can't get enough. And, you know, I mean, seriously, you just can't help it. And you hear people that have multiple partners. Generally, like we were saying before, you usually can go, oh, you're bipolar. Right? They're all bipolar. This whole sex addict thing, I always want to say, if you just ask a little bit more questions, you will find out that that person really experiences bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, because it's the same thing as when bipolar people spend too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is to excess when they're not treated.
Yes.
Everything is to excess.
Yes.
So, of course, sex goes with it, too. Financially, we blow money.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that. We can make $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
We'll blow $99,000.
Sue, can I make $100,000 a year? I'm just saying, Sue, can I make $100,000 a year? Okay, continue.
Okay.
Must be a
bless
total
your child, you'll make $100,000. But it's amazing because they'll say it's promiscuity. I'm like, no, it's actually just in addition to, it's self-medicating in another form.
Right, it is.
It's trying to make yourself feel better.
Say that.
You know, we're trying to make ourselves feel better. It's not trying to be cruel to somebody, or when we switch partners frequently, it's not belittling the previous partner. It's a need. We're trying to fill a need, and we can't.
Right.
And we've gone in the route of drinking too much. We've done drugs, or we've done a number of other things. Sex is next.
Right.
Or sex is the primary one.
Right. Mine was primarily sex and shopping. That was my thing. I needed
mine
sex.
Mine was sex, and
sex,
then
sex
again.
And sex.
And then some more sex.
High five, Sue.
And
I like
you.
You're my new best bipolar friend.
And I mean, it's calmed down, but I still know that for my age, I'm
way But wait a minute, Sue. Has it calmed down physically or mentally?
Mentally.
Oh, mine's so the opposite.
No, mentally, I think I'm just more sick. You know what it is right now? I have so much on my mind. I'm doing so many projects that it's kind of forced. It's like putting it in another place.
Because
I think when I'm done with my projects, I'll be horny again.
Let me tell you something. I have sex every 6 seconds in my mind. In my mind, I am the bomb freaking diggity, okay? I have sex every 6 seconds in my head. Now, my physical body is like, chick, let me explain that you are 45.
It's not going to happen.
And just like I did several years ago when I tried to do a cartwheel because I was a cheerleader, a gymnast, and all of that.
Did you find out you couldn't do it?
And I did a one-handed cartwheel. What you saying?
Here?
I tore up all the ligaments in my leg.
The mind is willing, but the body is not.
I'm so serious. But what I have done since I have agreed to this disorder with me, I have found that I am mature enough to know that my behavior was destructive.
Right, yep.
Okay, so even though I may have it continually in my mind, I know that, one, my body can't handle it, and two, I begin to say, why do you need to have sex?
Right.
Because I figured out that I was using sex as the, okay, I never drank, I never did drugs, ever. Just so all of you people know who always thought I was on drugs, I never did drugs.
That was your natural state.
That was my natural state of being. So there you go. But sex was my way of fulfilling hurt, because
mm-hmm.
I had been hurt for so long in abusive relationships. I had been hurt verbally. In so many other areas of my life, it was just one of those saddest spaces. So I didn't get to go get drunk like people. I couldn't hide away from it. I didn't get to go, you know, smoke weed, do Molly and eat your face. I didn't get to do all of that good stuff. So my thing was, let me find some sex. And I remember being extremely young and driving around. I was on a sex hunt very early, like in my teens. I was on a sex hunt. Like, if I don't get it, I am going to absolutely freaking break out. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to die if I don't get sex. And it was such a drive. It was literally animalistic. And I remember hearing, you know, of course you could never tell. And I can tell people that now because I really don't give a what. Okay. Don't care. And this is what has made me free. And this is what has made me better and become my best, is to be able to finally now say this is the real deal. And, you know, hopefully that my story and my life and my experience as well as my maturity can now help somebody say, baby, nothing's really wrong with you. This is what you're going through.
Yeah.
And this is how you can overcome that. But I remember driving around saying, I don't care who it is. I just need anybody. Anybody and several anybodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm finished with you, I want more.
Yeah.
And I didn't always act upon it. So I want to tell you guys that a lot of this was desire, not necessarily action. And then sometimes it was action, but not in the sense of my desire was always so acute. It was just ridiculous. And I remember reading a book on several people who are now coming out saying, I live with this, that went into destructive sexual mode.
Oh, it can get you into a lot of trouble.
Oh, my God.
I avoided that. I didn't get to that point.
Oh, my God, Sue. So glad for you.
Yeah, but I realized, like, for the longest time, like, all through my 20s, I switched partners like you change socks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I realized that it was getting ridiculous, and I was, you know, getting older, and I didn't want to stay in that state anymore. I was like, this is not what I want. I want to actually have one person.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was very hard for me to conform to just having one person.
Oh, my God, you get the shakes.
Oh, I would be like,
you do.
You just stay home tonight, and I'll be back in a few hours. I'll be back. You know, and that wasn't working real well, so I had to stop. But like now I have actually, I mean, it's more mind over matter now.
Yeah,
it's more of control.
It is.
It's the control
issue.
It's just going, stop that.
It is.
You know,
it
that's
is.
Not what you need.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's thinking about, okay, if you go out and do that, what's going to be the consequence
right.
of that?
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know?
See, when you don't, when you're not treated in some method or you haven't gone to therapy, you don't think about consequences.
You
just do something and go, I'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
And I think the better you get at handling
Yeah,
you know, your disorder, the better you are going, wait a minute, if I do this,
yeah,
this, and this could happen, and I don't want any of those scenarios.
Right.
So
right.
it helps you out a lot. That's why, I mean, like, if I went out and did the same thing now that I used to do, just being very promiscuous, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it really is a true statement, you know, for you to be finally at a mature state and an understanding state of what bipolar disorder is, what it is not, and how to deal with it. So, you know, our encouragement to everybody that's listening or somebody that may know somebody or yourself that goes through these type of, that's why we called it the bi-cycle, because it is a cycle, guys. It runs. You may have moments, like Sue and I are saying, yeah, we got a handle on it. You know, we understand it. I may have a moment in the next, like I said, every 6 seconds, I'm like, oh, my God. right now. You know, you may have a moment where it's a reoccurring whatever, sex, money. I remember getting so high on politics. I was involved in President Obama's first election in Chicago. I was actually at headquarters in Chicago.
Oh, really cool.
Fantastic. Another story. But I was so high. I got to do it. And it was let me tell you, it was such a turn on. I was sexually turned on by the high of the politics.
But what, actually, you're saying you're sexually turned on. It was you were just turned on. You needed something.
Yeah, that's it.
To get you that high. It was, and that's,
oh my God,
what happened.
It was
so
a
you
high.
Equated
so
it
then,
to sexual.
No, I just wanted sex right after. It was like, well, we're in the preliminaries. Oh, I got it. What's that? It was that. It was literally.
That is funny.
But, you know, then you feel this shame.
And then you
feel this, I'm the most horrible, wicked, disgusting person in the world because I'm having these feelings and I'm having these thoughts. I don't know what to do with them. But you have nobody to tell that to because everybody, again, is going to give you the stigmas, going to attach you with the labels.
No, I understand that, yeah.
And this is why, guys, we're saying therapy and medication, supplements, sleep, you know, diet, it really all plays a part. It's not just one or the other. It's balancing all these things so that you are your best you, so that you won't live in shame. Now, that's not to say you don't look at yourself and go, do better, be better. We're not saying, hey, this is just me, I don't care. We're saying monitor you, know you, watch your moods, watch what you like, what you dislike, so that you can get a better handle and a better quality of life. Because it's important. I had a friend of mine who was telling me about someone that was married, and the guy was the one who had the bipolar disorder, and he would go 6 months of just wild sex capades. His wife wouldn't see him for months.
Oh, my God. And she stayed with him?
I don't know if they're still together.
I don't think so. I do.
Probably not. That's one of those. I'm going to set a boundary, and you cross it a little way over the line. And I'm not mad.
But I did something similar. I would basically settle down with somebody, and that would be good for about 6 months, and I'd get the itch again. So I'd go out and cheat. And it got to the point where I didn't have a conscience about it anymore because I could convince myself that I needed to do that. Well, I'm bipolar, and this is what we do.
And that's what we do.
And that's it. So I'm just going to do it, and I don't feel bad. And, of course, you know, it came back to me karma-wise.
Ten times.
Yeah. What it originally started at. But, I mean, it was of also maturity, just saying, you know, then you don't
can't.
Settle with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, just
date.
And do it that way. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I was really endangering. And plus, you never know what you're bringing home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just so much involved in that. And at that point, I just didn't care. You know, I need this.
Yeah, see, for me, I just, you know, I just got married. I didn't date. I just, you want to get married? Okay, great, wonderful, love you, bye. Okay, we're going to be married for a while, and then I'm going to marry you again, and then, well, okay, I'm going to marry you again. Not that I disregarded marriage, but my choices a lot of times were so sporadic, and I didn't take time to really know me. And in the process of not knowing me, well, how can I really know you? Because I didn't take time to get to know me. And so I believed in marriage so much, but I was marrying people and drawing to people who were a lot like me.
Yes.
This is dysfunctional.
No, I think you were drawn to people weaker than you.
In some areas. And I won't even say weaker, like they were just totally weak, because actually I draw the strongest, the most dominant, most controlling. And a lot of times the underlining of that is weakness.
Thank you.
And
that's
not
what,
a,
that's
yeah,
what I was trying to
it's
get
It's not
to,
a recognition
yeah.
of their weakness or a recognition of their own dysfunction or their own issues. And I'm going to only draw that because I wasn't paying attention to my own. And that put me in a lot of really bad spaces, not necessarily bad people, but bad spaces with them.
See, and I come off as a very strong person. For the most part, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very aggressive. If I want to do something, I do it. If you don't want to make it happen, I'll do it. You know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean that I want to be strong all the time. It's like I want to be weak sometimes.
Yeah,
I want you to take over, and I just want to go crawl in the corner and go, oh, life sucks.
Yeah.
Just once in a while. I find that I think because of being bipolar, I've had to be very strong for myself so that I didn't get sick, that I wouldn't have recurring episodes. It was just fighting and fighting and fighting until I got it right.
Yeah.
And I think it's a misconception. They're like, even if I tell somebody I'm bipolar, so I might freak out on you a little bit, they look at me and go, you're too strong for that. You won't do that. It's like, that has nothing to do with my strength. You know, I'm like, it's just a chemical thing and it might happen.
Yeah. I hated that when people were like, you're so strong for that, you know more than that. And yeah, I do.
But
I'm having a moment where I can't function.
Yeah, I can't control it.
My therapist, who I want to give a shout out to, Dr. Jennifer Fennell, absolutely the most incredible person God ever created. I was hoping she would be able to call in tonight, but she's too busy. And I'm so glad because that means she's helping so many people, including herself and her own family. But she's absolutely just incredible. And she really helped me kind of face some things about me. I had already started before I met her, but she was that person I had really prayed to come into my life, and that she would be that glue that helped me balance me and figure me out. And she's a straight shooter. She's extremely fantastic, but she's a straight shooter. Deal with you, face you, live with you. If it's not going to be medication, you better take those supplements. And I mean it, damn it, that kind of counselor. But she really allowed me to face, do I need to be in a relationship with just me, or do I need to be in a relationship with someone else? And if I am with someone else, how much of their issues am I consuming, and how much of my are they consuming? Learn the boundaries and learn to balance out.
And but that's a conflict even if you're not bipolar.
Well, yeah, but hey, with bipolar.
But with us, it's a little different.
Yeah, so do we have a caller? I think maybe we do.
We got a question.
Oh, we got a question. Okay. We have a question right now that says, are there instances where a person with bipolar disorder does not want to have sex at all? Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. There, you know, it depends on if you're male or female, number one. You may have, let me just come at it from a female standpoint. If you're in an age bracket where you are facing menopause, number one, menopause and bipolar disorder is like the atomic bomb. Just want you to know that. There is no such thing as sex at all for male and female. You may, and this is when we're talking about the highs and the lows.
It's more in a depressive state.
It's
when you get into the depressive state,
it's
like anybody
just
else.
Like, don't touch me. Mm-hmm. Don't want. But you know what? Honestly, Sue, I didn't have a lot of that.
I had very
I just stayed sex. It was only a few droughts for me where I didn't want it. I'd be depressed and, you know, just had surgery with staples in my belly and saying, but I just want some. No, just don't look at the scar. But, no, who is this that sent this to us? Sexy black man. Ooh, wow, hey. Anyway, there are moments where you will not want to have sex at all, male or female, and that just really depends on what place you are in the stages of bipolar disorder. And it's one of those things, again, where if you don't have a confidant or a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a doctor, or someone that you are talking to about where you are or where somebody that you know may be, then it's in a place of suffering, because now you're in a space where you're feeling like something's wrong with you. And it's not a wrong or right, it's just a difference. And how you need to address those differences is, one, by talking and by communicating and being honest about where you are. So hopefully that answered your question. But a lot of people, the most people that I know, are really high sexually natured with bipolar disorder. But then you go into those moments where it either comes back down to a balance, or I don't want to be touched at all. And I find that, to me, more in women than I found in men. But but some men do, you know, also they just don't want to be bothered at all. And it has nothing to do with the partner.
Which unfortunately is very hard to get that point across.
Oh my
it's,
God.
You know, it's a difficult. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah,
but it really is.
And that cliche, and people are like, whatever. I'm sick of hearing that.
Yeah, and it's just you just go through. I went through at the end of the 17-year relationship. I went through 2 years of just please get away from me.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like, please get away. The relationship itself had diminished quite a bit.
Okay.
So I think that was a normal reaction we're on our way out, so don't bother.
You don't
want
to be bothered.
No,
you don't
I didn't.
Want to be with somebody.
I slept on the couch for the last 2 years.
Yeah. I had a relationship where we slept in separate rooms, and it was hard because we knew that the relationship was ending. So that alone, like you're saying, is really tough, but then to know that you don't want to be touched.
Yeah.
And then me being such a sexual person, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I need this every 6 seconds. And
well, it wasn't that I didn't feel sexual. I didn't feel sexual about them.
But that's my point.
Yeah, that was hard. That was a hard thing for me to digest. I was like, this is terrible. You know, I can't feel that about them. But
mm-hmm.
I can feel it about, like, somebody I see on the street and go,
mm-hmm.
ooh, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, that was rough.
That's a tough one. Well, I want to kind of give the phone number again for those of you that are listening. If you want to call somebody that you may know, who you even think might have bipolar disorder, they may want to listen to the show. You can go back after hours, like we stated in the beginning, and archive the show and listen to the show. I think it's 10 after 10 p.m. on Monday, but I'll go and look at my notes again. I'm bipolar disorder, so I don't know all that stuff, and I don't remember it, so I have to read it from the pages. My producer's always like, oh, my God, can you just do this right? No, I can't. I have bipolar disorder, and that's what the show is about.
And that excuses us from everything. Everything in life, we get away with murder, literally and figuratively.
Oh, so, but anyway, I'll get all of that stuff done right in just a few minutes. But the phone number is 347-826-7520. And we really, truly appreciate everybody that has called in. We appreciate those that are listening, those that have sent us questions. And I really want to give a shout-out to the producer that I keep talking about. She's an amazing woman in so many ways. But her name is Sabrina Sunny Spoon Smith. She is constantly sending out messages and manning the phone lines, manning the online, and just keeping us abreast of what we need to do here in the studio. And I'm extremely excited about it. And I think right now we have a caller that just called in, and I'm really welcoming you to the show. Caller, are you here? Caller. Okay, well, call back in or click over so we can hear you because we don't. Okay, so call back in when you have an opportunity. We're here for you to answer any of your questions. Sexy Black Man, you're so welcome for the question that you had. Hopefully we answered it for you. So now I think we have the caller in now. Caller, are you here? Not yet. Okay. So, guys, if you have a doubt about being bipolar disorder diagnosed, the things that we can recap on is, first and foremost, find a good doctor. Seriously, go get a checkup. Go to your local health department even and say, look, I just need I need a doctor. I need some referrals. I need something. If you have insurance, stop paying for insurance and not using it. Go to the doctor, get a physical. And then say, by the way, as Sue did, I've done some research. I heard a show on Blog Talk Radio, and they were talking about bipolar disorder. I think I may, be along the lines. I may be borderline, meaning you may tip over one way or the left, to the right or the left with it. And ask questions. Find out about yourself. Nobody is in control of you and your body and your mind except you. Unless you're being straightjacketed and lifted out of a situation.
And you're frothing at the mouth.
And you're frothing at the mouth.
Then you really probably aren't listening.
Yeah, then you probably are not listening to yourself. But you are in control of you. And so you have to be in a space where you take control of your life. And that doesn't mean that it happens overnight. If you have been living with all of these kind of symptoms and more for a very long time, it takes a process of learning who you are. It takes a process of accepting your beautiful mind for what it is, because it's beautiful. You know, it's not all of just the negative things about bipolar that send you, you know, tipped over. It's the creative side of you that is so really awesome that keeps the world turning. It's, if you go and look up celebrities or business people who have bipolar disorder, it will blow your mind at some of the creative thinkers that have lived with this disorder for a long time. But it's going to take you to be in control of you, to finding out about yourself so that you can say, what can I do to live a better and enriched life? But it's, you know, you have to make those first steps. So reach out to a therapist. Dr. Jennifer Fennell is mine. She is just wonderful. And mind you, she's a therapist, so she's not going to give you the medications, and you would have to get that through a psychiatrist and or a doctor. But your therapist can at least start the conversations, help you talk through and kind of figure out where you are. If you don't have a therapist and, you know, a lot of people can't afford one, talk to a really good friend, do some researches, buddy up, call myself, call Sue, find us on Facebook. We'll be happy to kind of point you into some directions. Sue, again, is coming out with her documentary sometime this year, which I am so grateful to be a part of that as well. And, you know, just kind of figuring out as we go more and more about this disorder. But it's really up to you to find out about you, okay? I think we do finally have a caller that called in. Caller, are you here?
I'm here.
Hey, caller.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was calling to let you know that I'm really enjoying your show.
Oh,
and I'm
wonderful.
So proud of you.
Oh, who is this?
This is Tiffany in Atlanta.
Tiffany, hi, pumpkin.
I am feeling so left out.
How are you?
Okay, can somebody call and say something to Sue? I mean, really.
I'm just a guest. I don't get phone calls.
Okay.
Tiffany, oh, my God, I could just hug you through the phone, baby. I'm so happy to hear from you.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm happy to hear from you, too.
Well,
but,
I'm glad you called. Did you have a question for us as well?
No, I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm really enjoying all the great informative information. And
I taught her everything she knows. She was so bored before I met her. I was like, let me sit you down and tell you what you're all about. But now she knows.
You guys have been very empowering, and it's interesting that you use the term beautiful mind, because I agree as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have two kids with a beautiful mind.
Oh, my God,
and,
really?
Yes, they don't have bipolar, but I have one. My 7-year-old has ADHD, and my 3-year-old little girl is she's been diagnosed with autism. So yeah,
wow, yeah, two very prominent disorders that people, especially in the African American community, that we just don't address much of anything. Anyway, as Sue said, most of everything that we know is to go pray about it, and nothing is wrong with prayer at all. Period. But you have
right.
to know what to pray about.
So
if you
that
don't
is so true.
It, you can't pray about it.
You know, there's a whole school of thought now that autism,
mm-hmm.
bipolar disorder, and a lot of the other mental illnesses that go with it are actually a form of enhancement.
Right.
They make you a braver, smarter,
mm-hmm.
more creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree. Of course, I would, because I'm bipolar.
There you go.
And I like people to think that I'm, like, incredible.
You are.
But really, if you think about it, like, there's so many different forms of autism. All it is a different perspective on things. Everything is
You're
perspective.
You're so right.
You know, and if
so
and
right.
that was, I've dealt with autistic kids. I have a sister-in-law that teaches them, so
oh,
I help her out from time
you
to time.
Are so just in the know.
And it's just amazing to me that if you just stop thinking with blinders on, like looking with blinders on, and start
mm-hmm.
looking to the left and to the right, you see that they just look at life differently than you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That is
and
so
And then a
true.
Lot of times they come to the same conclusion or a better conclusion than you do
mm-hmm.
because they're not forced to look straight ahead. They'll look to the left and the right.
Right.
So, wow. You know, like anything like that that affects the mind is usually, if you look at it the right way, it's an enhancer. It's not. It doesn't detract from anybody. It enhances them in one way or another.
It does. It broadens their senses.
Yes, exactly. We're usually very, because I don't know about autistic kids, but bipolar people are very intuitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of us are clairvoyant. I don't like the clairvoyant part, so I just shut that down because I don't like seeing things I don't want. I just don't want to know.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather just be surprised like the rest of the world.
Right.
But you know, we're very intuitive. We have a sensitivity to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we were made with maybe a couple parts missing, but they put
mm-hmm.
other parts in.
Mm-hmm.
In place of. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you're not going to have this, but I'll give you this instead.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so I would love to follow you with your daughter that's autistic.
Oh, that'd be
awesome. And find
out
how she does as she grows up, because I just think that would be probably an amazing story all by itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Tiffany, you're such a great
Look,
mom.
Look, another documentary I should
I
do.
I know.
Oh, my God, I have like 20 of them now.
Bipolar, I love it.
I just find anything that has to do with the mind to be an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand it yet.
Right.
You know, there's no true understanding. We're doing a lot of guesswork these days. But I think we're getting better at it.
Yeah.
So, but Tiffany, that would be cool with you. I would love to follow up in like 2 years.
That would be great.
You know, and see what she's doing. And, you know, because you seem to have a very open mind about
She's
what
fabulous.
She has.
Tiffany is fabulous. And she's so beautiful.
Is she fabulous?
Yes,
do I know her?
No, you don't. I'll have to show you a picture of Tiffany. She is just so
I'm
going to
cheat and find out what you look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, she's so gorgeous. She's such a sweetie pie.
But,
honey, I'm so glad you called. Yeah, she's
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You're welcome.
I'll hit you up on Facebook, Tiffany.
Okay.
All right.
Tiffany, thank you for calling, baby.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye, Tiffany.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God, we're such a touchy-feely kind of phone call study show. This is so great. This is so really great. I think we actually have, do we have another caller? We don't. What do we have?
Producer person.
Oh, producer person. We do? We don't? Okay. What is my Facebook information?
Jazzy Jones.
I don't even know.
You did the profile.
Do I give my own information? Okay. I've been given the go-ahead, the green thumbs. Okay, so you can reach me on Facebook at Jazzy. No, that's not my Facebook. You can find me, Jazzy Jones, on Facebook, J-A-Z-Z-I-E Jones. But my actual Facebook is, what is my Facebook? I don't know.
I think somebody could find Jazzy Jones.
Just you know, find Jazzy Jones on Facebook. You can actually reach me via email on Bare Heads. This is the Bare Truth, so you can reach me at bareheads@gmail.com if you wanted to reach me directly through Gmail, because I don't even know my Facebook. I just know. Go on Facebook and find me. But, Sue, you know yours. Get in touch with Sue and get in touch with me.
It's really easy because there's only two of us in the United States, or actually two of us on Facebook with my name.
That's so cool.
It's Sue Ryerson, and it's R-Y-E-R-S-O-N. And I'm not the one in Chicago. That's a very poor imitation of me. I am the one in Georgia, so that'll kind of clue you in.
I love it. Okay, so I know.
And I'm cuter than the one in Chicago.
Yes, you are.
So.
You're so fabulously fine. Okay, so, like, listen, we only have about 15 more minutes before our show is over, right? So everybody's called in for me. I know it's some Jersey girls and guys listening to Sue. I am going to challenge you. I'm not going to give you any prizes or anything. I'm just going to challenge you to call in because Sue needs some, hey, Sue. So I need somebody to do that. So
Now everybody, I don't know old people. They're all
I ain't
in
got
bed.
Nothing to do with that. Old people get up and call Sue. That's what I need to happen because she's been absolutely amazing on this show. So those of you that are listening or those of you that are on Facebook, I need you to call in to Sue. The phone number is 347-826-7520. So anyway, we have had the most amazing time.
This is fun.
This is really fun. I mean, I'm like, Sue, could you just, like, come on every show? just be in the background so we can do jokes. But this has been really, really great. we've had some phenomenal people that have, you know, texted. Some people don't always want to come on the show. Some people want to be anonymous, and we've been able to answer some things just via texting and typing, and we've been able to answer some things online. But I just want to, again, encourage you to seek professional help, not in a negative way, but reach out and find out about yourself. Take time. If you don't want to rush to a doctor, you can't afford to rush to a doctor, start monitoring your actions. Like, begin journaling so you can know the things that you do, when you did them, why you did them, because those are some of the things that your doctors are going to ask you. Your therapists are going to say, on an average, on a daily basis, on a weekly, on a monthly, what are some of the things you do? You know, do you spend excessively? Do you have sex excessively? Do you sleep? Do you cry? Do you get angry? Do you curse people out? I remember one time, Sue, oh, my God, years ago, I knew I had an issue. And I used to think it was because I had a period. And when my period came on at the time, Sue, do you still have a period? I'm all in your business.
I'm just about done. Just about. Like, it was like, I'll go 3 months and all of a sudden go, surprise, you're not done yet.
Okay,
I'm like,
yeah.
Bitch, get away.
Girl interrupted. But I don't have one. I'm so tremendous.
You're lucky.
Aren't I? Because I cut that sucker out. Okay.
Oh, well, that's not
I was
fair.
Like,
that's
let
not
me
fair,
just
though.
Tell
you. You surgically
I'm so done with you, chick. I'm over you. But when I was having a period, I used to have the worst, absolute worst moments in life. I would go into severe depression, but I would also be extremely irritable. And I remember driving down the street. I've never had road rage in my life. And I remember driving with my kid. This is when I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what.
Yes.
I was driving down the street, and this lady cut me off. I had my children in the car. Poor children in the car. And you would have thought she shot one of my kids. It was to that extreme for me, okay? I drove after this lady doing about 70 down to 35, okay? Drove up. I could see the fear in her eye. She looked in her rearview mirror like, oh, my God. And I drove up behind her, got to the stoplight because she could not run through it, and I got out of the car.
Oh, my God.
I went, this was many, 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 many years ago, like over 20, and I went out and knocked on her window, and right when I saw the fear in her eye, like, and it was a white lady. Forgive me, Sue.
That's okay.
I'm doing this for your people.
I know I'm white. Sorry.
For your people.
For your people.
And I got out, and I bammed on the window. And when she looked at me with this fear, at that moment, I was like, well, what am I going to do to her when she rolls down the window, that I'm trying to get her to roll down the window? And I just burst into tears when I got in the car and apologized to the children, drove over, and cried. Because I didn't know why I did that. It had never happened to me before.
It's because that's the non-filter.
It was
that's
no
the filter.
Filter
part.
It's
being,
yeah,
you
it
just
no
went from 0 to 100
to,
in seconds.
To 2,000.
Bing,
I was
gone.
A meteor.
Yep.
It was, you know.
I had crying jags, which is not unusual.
Yeah.
You know what's very unusual? I had a laughing jag.
I've had those.
Oh, those
oh
are
my
so
God, it's ridiculous.
Weird. They're creepy.
I had
They're
at the
creepier
comedy
than
show
the crying
night.
Jag.
I was laughing at that Molly joke that absolutely was
oh,
not that funny.
Funny.
It
but
was just that moment, and it's
the same thing. We don't have the filter that says, stop laughing now, stop laughing
yeah.
now, stop laughing now. So we'll go beyond.
Yeah.
I had a laughing jag that scared the crap out of one of my friends because I was crying and saying, make me stop laughing.
Yeah,
I didn't
couldn't.
Want to laugh anymore.
It yeah,
hurt.
It was hurting.
Yeah, it was starting to be painful. But that was right before I ended up going to the doctor. It was like one of 20 things I said, this is not normal.
Wow.
There's something wrong. I'm like,
Sue, I think you have bipolar disorder.
No, I don't. No way. This is just the way I am.
Yeah, it is.
I have, on occasion, I have to say, I have just blamed something on being bipolar because it.
But sometimes you have to.
I just go,
you know,
I'm bipolar.
It's like I just tell the producer, listen, I don't even know the name of the show, whatever. I don't know my Facebook account. You just have to read it. Just jump in here, read out the information.
Well,
I can't even
like,
find the paper at
why
this
did
point.
You do such and such?
because I'm bipolar. I
yeah.
do stuff like
yeah.
that. That's what
I
do. I
do.
You know, it's hard to explain to people, like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's a good example of what I do.
Yeah.
Don't make me,
yeah.
like, explain it to
Don't
me.
Judge
just,
me.
Yeah,
that's
just
it.
The way I am.
It's just it. You know, another quick thing, and we only have a few minutes, and I'm glad we kind of, you know, if you notice how I was going into something and we jumped off into something else, that's another bipolar
that's
thing.
Bipolar thing.
It's a bipolar thing. We show up late. We say we're going to do something on Tuesday. We get it to you on next Monday. Mm-hmm. It's not because we're just really trying to be that way. It just is people.
That's
please
the way we
understand.
Are.
It just is. But, you know, really quickly before our announcements come in and we tell you all of some more good things, I just wanted to – what was I going to tell you? I forgot. Oh, we forget things.
You forgot what you were going to say.
We forget stuff. What was I going to say? I really did forget it.
I don't know, but I was going to put in about the being late.
Yeah, say
okay.
the being late thing.
But I discovered that that has nothing to do with being bipolar for
it
me.
It's a
Because – I'm only late if I don't give a crap about something, and I'm late.
Wow.
And or if I feel like the time is just like, you know, meet me at noon to do this, and
mm-hmm.
we can do it any time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get there at noon because it really doesn't matter.
Oh, my God.
So I'll get there at 20 after.
Oh, my
and go,
God.
And go, did it make a difference in your day?
You know what? You're so.
I do that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, come on. There's some people are, like, fanatical about time.
And
they get, like, weird
like
about
over it.
Yeah,
like,
and it's like,
it.
Chill. Chill.
Yeah.
You know, like we're here. We can still do whatever we were planning on doing.
Yeah.
We're doing it 20 minutes later. What is the difference?
Yeah. Sometimes after that, but I've got to admit that I've gotten more conscious because I usually just didn't care. I would show up at my friend's house at 3 or 4 in the morning like, well, how? You haven't seen me in a year, so what? Does it matter if I showed up at 3 a.m.?
I have one friend,
Audra Key Hamilton and Ken Hamilton. I just want to give you a gracious shout-out. You're not even listening to the show because I totally forgot to call you in North Carolina to tell you about it. But should you listen to this later, for all of the times I showed up at your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, woke up your entire family, made you turn off the alarm, move your car, and do all of that stuff,
oh
and you accepted
God.
Me. I love you for life. I had bipolar disorder. Don't judge me. So... I want to go ahead and quickly announce that Loudmouth Radio has 3 shows thus far. We're going to be adding a 4th show soon. But on Monday nights, we just had Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. I have to say his name slowly because it's not Roderick. It's Roderick. Just had a phenomenal show last night called The Universal Mind, and he just went into so much that I am now using. I used it all day by saying, okay, to one of my really good friends, you're one of the 5 people that are making me curse. I just want you to know that you are infecting my life. So he's amazing. So you listen to him at 8 o'clock. My show, again, The Bare Truth, Love, Life, Sex, and Flowers, comes on at Tuesday at 8 p.m., and we're a 2-hour show, as you can tell. And then on Thursday, Night Talk Live with JL and Sunny is just a phenomenal show that really covers the LGBTQ issues,
what's
concerns.
The Q?
Cute.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Queer.
Okay.
Cute with a C. Cute with a Q. No, the queer. But they talk about topics not only that are LGBTQ, but that straight people are influenced or that they may have issues, concerns, or thoughts about. So
okay,
it really
cool.
covers a broad spectrum. And so really proud of loudmouthradio.com for just really putting all of these shows together.
Yeah, it's
just
cool.
really phenomenal. Sunny Sabrina Spoon Smith is doing an amazing job. But now, really briefly before we leave, next week's topic is going to be, we have switched it. So because somebody gave me this online today, I have to address it because I am not afraid. I am not afraid. Please do realize I'm not afraid. I don't care. We are going to discuss adult breastfeeding.
What?
And there was a silence in the room. I am not going to go into detail.
I'm all for it.
I am high five. We're going to discuss this in detail. We're going to get past the stigma. We're going to get past the westernized thought process, and we're going to address this. So having said all of this, this show, The Bare Truth, Love, Life, Sex, and Flowers, the flower of the week is an orchid, people. Orchid is one of my favorite flowers in the history of the orchid. Orchids are long-lasting and particularly elegant, the type of flower that they are, making them the perfect gift for any occasion. They are graceful in appearance, and they draw immediate attention. They have also been linked to love, exotic character, beauty, and sex. No wonder.
No wonder why we like orchids.
I like them too.
So you can always go online and find out about them. They are wonderful. They're beautiful. Come in many colors. 25,000 orchid orgasm. That whole
orchid
thing.
Orgasm.
Guys, it's been wonderful. I appreciate you much. Please tune in again next Tuesday. Tell a friend, tell a family, tell an enemy. We don't really care. Just have them listen in or call in 347-826-7520. There will be information on Loudmouth with two D's, radio.com, so you can get information about our show. Tune in again. We appreciate you, Sue. Loved you. You were fantastic.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was fun. I'll be back next week. I'll be in the background.
Yeah, could you?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys.
I'll just interject.
Good night. Love you much. Peace.